Good afternoon, and welcome to the Minnesota House Ag Policy Committee. I'm going to call the meeting to order, and thank you for being here. We do have a quorum. Just as we go down the agenda, the roll call, the clerk will note who's here. And we don't have any minutes to approve yet, so we're going to pass that one by. And today, what we're going to have is a presentation by the Minnesota Agriculture Rural Leadership Program. And so we have members in the audience who are part of the MARL program. And we're going to have a few of them that are going to actually present to us and give us some information about what they're doing here and what they're doing in the full program. So we'll welcome to the table, first of all, Dan Hoffman. Because I think he's going to be the kind of the coordinator of who speaks when, maybe. And as you come up, if you would, when you're going to get started, if you would state your name for the record, please, and then we'll be able to have you give your presentation. And this is an informal presentation, so as you have questions, if you just want to raise your hand to let us know, we will be able to, from the committee, we'll be able to then allow you to ask your questions. So, Mr. Hoffman, welcome to the committee, and state your name, and then you can go ahead.
Dan Hoffman, and thank you, Chair Representative Poppy. It's quite an honor to be here, and it is my first experience. So I appreciate and also am humbled by the opportunity. Minnesota Ag and Rural Leadership is a neat organization that is designed to help people move back into the community when they're done with the two-year program to implement leadership programs and do things that help their community. And the 30 people that are in Class 7 were just selected a few months ago. 30 people from around the state of Minnesota. So when they're done with the two-year program, they go back into their communities and take the leadership skills that they learned. For example, this week we're in St. Paul learning how to interact with our legislators. And our goal when we're done today, Chair, is, and you've got a package in front of you, with the bios of Class 30. The 30 members in Class 7, the bios. They're also on the website, www.marlprogram.org. But this is a handy resource that we hope you'll use because these people know what it means to be free enterprise. They know what it means to innovate. They know what it means to be involved in a community that isn't really heavily populated sometimes. And it takes a lot of work to make things happen in rural Minnesota, and it takes a lot of teamwork. And when you have questions about policy or you have questions about things that impact agriculture or rural communities, we hope you'll call on those people or email them. Some of the other things that they do, I'm going to have the class themselves come up and talk about. I'm relatively new to the role. Before this, I taught high school ag in Montgomery for 7 years, and I taught at Riverland Community College Farm Business Management for 23 years. So it's a new and exciting role, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. I've got a wonderful board of directors to work with. I have an office in Marshall at Southwest Minnesota State University. They are very supportive of the program because they understand what this means to our state and to our economy. And really, there are no resources that we can afford to waste. And I don't think that the committee I'm speaking to, that's news to you. We've got a lot of work to do, and we don't always have the resources we need. So we're trying to leverage the time and talents that are before us. And you're going to enjoy this class. You're going to enjoy the presentations they have. And I guess at this point, if there's any questions of me, wonderful. Otherwise, I'm not the star of the show. That's coming up.
All right. Any questions? Otherwise, we will proceed. So the next person, if you just state your name and allow you to present. And again, if you have questions, we'll have you answer them.
Thank you, Honorable Chairwoman and members of the committee. My name is Sander Ludeman. I'm a ag producer from Tracy, Minnesota, and currently serve as the board chairman of MARL. I thought some of you might be familiar with MARL and how it operates, but some of you perhaps aren't, and so I thought I'd kind of give you a little schematic background of who we are and how we operate. I am the board chair, which is composed of 11 members who have responsibility for, one, hiring the executive director, and second, to develop the financial resources for the program, and thirdly, to set the strategic direction and vision of the program, which is now almost 14 years old. You are going to be hearing from members of Class 7. For the first 12 years of the program, our board served strictly as an advisory board, and they had limited authority, but that has recently changed in discussions with Southwest State in the recent year and a half. So we still operate under the auspices of their 501(c) status of their Southwest Minnesota State Foundation, who continues to serve as our fiscal agent for the program. But we as a board have been given more say and authority as an actual hands-on board as to how to set the direction for the program. By design, six of our members are public members who are not alumni. I've been one of those. And then up to five board members can be alumni, and currently we are at that level, who have went through the program. So 11 members, six public, five alumni. The six members are might represent general farm organizations, commodity groups, or might just be interested individuals interested in the Marl program. We've also added this year as an ex-official member of Class 6, which is a just most recent class, because each of these classes developed their own system of networking and communication, and we thought that was very vital to have them communicate in the manner they do with their class and keep them up to speed on what we're doing as a board. After 2 years in this program, they certainly have done that. We also have representatives from SMSU's Foundation and also representatives from the University of Minnesota Extension, which carries out the learning part of the project. They serve as advisors to us when we meet. So usually we have 15-18 people in the boardroom when we meet. We meet every other month at various locations around the state, often hosted by a commodity group or agribusiness. And in addition, we take an active role in interviewing and selecting each class member every 2 years. Great care is taken in making sure we have a diverse class on gender, vocation, geography. Not all applicants are chosen, and some who are encouraged to reapply, some do reapply and then are accepted in a succeeding class. The board itself is also involved at the end of the program when we do exit interviews and sit down, okay, what did you learn over this year and a half, this 2 years, to try and see if we can improve the program somehow. While the board can ask for expense reimbursement, most of us turn around and donate that back, or in many cases never ask for expenses, so the board members are not paid for their time. Just several months ago, the board spent a day and a half updating its strategic operating plan. This was driven by the hiring of Dan Hoffman, who you just met, who's been with us just a little over a year now. And the redefinition of the board responsibilities, which I indicated earlier, has changed. So hopefully we will later today at our board meeting adopt four broad goals with a number of key tactics under each one, and I would just like to share them with you. The first goal is to provide for the ongoing review and development of Marl's leadership, governance structure, and our own board of directors. The second goal is to develop and implement a comprehensive communications and marketing plan by the year end 2013 to support and enhance the Marl brand, impact, results, and to promote the case for support. The third goal is to develop and implement a four-year resource development plan by July 2013 to improve the stability and sustainability of Marl and its programming. The final goal is to increase the cultural and demographic diversity of Marl and its programming, participants, and leadership. As I said, these are all subject to review and modification later today. And because we work in a legal relationship with SMSU and also in a contractual relationship with the U of M extension, they will be integral parts in helping us move that strategic plan forward. You might ask, what does it cost to run Marl? As resource development is certainly one of our greatest challenges. The participants' tuition of $5,000 for 2 years covers about 30% of the cost of the program, and a budget of around $300,000 a year. So we are dependent upon partners and individual contributors to make up that balance. Because the national and international trips involve a lot of travel and hotel rooms, as these costs escalate, so does our budget. And the trend, I think you all know which way it's going. This number, however, does not include in-kind contributions by the Southwest Minnesota State Foundation and the U of M. And so there's some in-kind work and support that they provide. So this brings me to my closing thought. While costly, without this investment in training and enabling leaders, what would be the cost to our rural communities and agriculture and related industries if we didn't do it? As a senior citizen, and one who has been involved with well over 20 organizations in my lifetime, from the state to the local and national level, I witnessed the consolidation of farms, of rural businesses, the growing vacancies of retail on Main Street, declining school populations, the graying and closing of our rural churches. To me, Marl spells hope. It offers opportunity, it suggests renewal and revival and rebirth. Not perhaps in direct action to change any of those things I mentioned, but in empowering individuals to build coalitions and collaborations, to challenge others to stand up and speak their piece, to redefine the future as they would like to see it, and alter the outcomes or timelines of some of those things. I thank you for listening and would enjoy answering any questions you may have.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Senior citizen. Mr. Yeah. Ludeman, thanks for being with us today. Just a quick question. I was going through some of the bios here, didn't get a chance to check all of them. Do all of your classmate people, candidates, have a connection to agriculture in some fashion?
In some fashion. Some are lenders, some are economic development directors, and we do want to have, by design, about two-thirds of our class members are producers or closely related to agriculture. The other third, perhaps, are not as closely linked. And we think there's, because some of these things that I mentioned are outside the realm of agriculture, and so some of the members aren't really what you would say closely related to agriculture, but we think that gives a good chemistry. And so not everyone does have a real close tie to agriculture. But they are rural. That's the other part.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Ludeman, first of all, thank you so much for your leadership in the ag community. It's been amazing to watch you and have a tremendous amount of respect for you and everything that you've done for ag. You talked about funding. We, the state of Minnesota and subsequently agriculture, there's a pot of dollars in the AgriFund. We had the ethanol producer payments. We fulfilled our obligation there. It was actually under the leadership of Chairman Junkie and Chairwoman Mary Ellen Otremba. In conjunction with Governor Plenty, they set up this AgriAccount to capture those dollars. There's going to be substantial dollars rolling into there as well. We're able to hold on to those tails and everything moving forward. I'm working with others to put together a bill to secure dollars and reinvest back into AURI, MEALC, Center for Rural Policy and Development, 4-H, FFA, Farm America, a lot of the ag literacy type things. And you just brought up Marl. I was talking with Mr. Sullivan, who's helping me draft a bill as well to capture those dollars and reinvest in stuff like this. What type of dollars would you be looking for? As far as to help out this program, are we looking at $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year? What would help out to continue this program or to help support this program?
Well, $1 would help.
Yeah.
I guess, to be honest, Senator or Representative Hamilton, that would have to be some discussion with my board about, you know, what would be a good number.
Yeah.
I'd hate to speculate and throw out a number, but. The Marl program has had a history of some ups and downs. Actually, Class 2 out of the chute struggled very financially, and there was some question about whether that would even complete. And so it has been a challenge through the 6 and 7 classes that we've had. I think I would like to perhaps suggest we have further discussion along that line as a possibility.
Madam Chairman, thank you. This is a wonderful opportunity that we have. Like I said, through the leadership of of previous chairs. They identified this, and so we have a chance here to reinvest in a lot of these programs, and I think that we should. So, we'll continue those. Hopefully we can get a hearing on that as well. The other question about, you said not everybody who enrolls into this program is accepted. In the screening type, I guess what all goes involved, what's involved in that as far as the screening process? I know many people that have participated, and they are wonderful people. I question, Miss Diane Bettine made the cut here this year. I'm not quite sure what happened with that. And in years past, we had Mr. Mathewitz. I'm just teasing. Wonderful, wonderful people. So what is the screening process? What's the criteria there?
Mr. Ludeman?
We put out the word, and there's an online application form that they fill out, and then we take those forms and invite those candidates to an interview process. We scatter the interviews around the state. They're not all held in Marshall or St. Cloud or someplace. We go to five or six geographic areas. We have some of the board members involved in interviews. We have some alumni involved in the interviews, and come up with recommended final slate that is then brought to the board for a final selection. We spend 4 or 5 hours going over all these 30 or 40 applicants, because we do screens involved in the process and say, okay, here's, we want this one, you know, so we kind of weigh it through. And as I said, we try to make sure we have a balance in terms of gender and economic geography across the state. We don't want to just be focused on one area and things. So it is a hands-on process, and we come up with our final 30. There's 30 in this class, and we're 32 in class 6. So we're not on a set number, but there's a breaking point, and that's where we go with. And then invite those, and there's an acceptance process, and most of the time, everybody that's accepted comes on the program.
All right. I think no other questions for you. Thank you very much. And next, if you'll just state your name for the record, please.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman. My name is Sarah Betzold, and I am the beginning farmer in our chronological order of presenters here today. So my story might be a little shorter than most. But to begin, I grew up on a small dairy farm in southeast Minnesota, and not only was I the middle child, I was also the only girl. And so I blame my dad to this day for telling me that if I'm going to be heard, I need to speak up for myself, or someone else is going to tell my story. So sometimes I thank him for that, and sometimes I blame him for that, but part of the reason why I'm here today. Growing up on a family farm, very active in 4-H and in FFA throughout my elementary and secondary education years. Very active in the FFA. Really found that as a place where I could become an advocate for agricultural education and for youth. To that point, I was elected to the state FFA president position in the year 2000, which seems like a while ago now, but had the opportunity to represent 9,000 FFA members across the state of Minnesota. Quite an opportunity to not only speak with students about leadership opportunities, about skill development and career development opportunities in the agricultural field, but also work with school boards, work with community leaders about the importance of agricultural education. And proud to say that today there are the most FFA members in the state of Minnesota that we've had in 23 years, with 9,500 FFA members. So it's not waning. Students are still interested in agriculture, and we definitely have a future there. So something that we can be proud of, I think, especially as the state of Minnesota. From there, continued and decided I should probably go to college for something that I knew best, and those two things were agriculture and talking. So agriculture, marketing, communications, and agronomy was my major. I might have crossed the border, but glad to be back in Minnesota, and I work right now as marketing communications coordinator for DuPont Pioneer, representing North and South Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And in my position, I work with promotions, advertising, sales literature, trade shows, and events. And so I'm very close with our customers, with the farmers out in the community. And very excited. Next week, I'll be taking a group of large producers next generation farmers to the Top Producer Seminar in Chicago. And amazing to see the profile for these 30 growers that we'll be taking. And some of them from the state of Wisconsin have 500 acres, but some from northern Minnesota and North Dakota have 15,000, 20,000 acres. And just almost hard to fathom these days, but absolutely incredible young farmers that are taking the lead on their operations and in their agricultural industry in their state too. So phenomenal group of people that I get to work with every day. Which brings me here to the MARL program, and the reason that I wanted to be involved was really to work with the 30 people in my class and people like Mr. Ludeman, people like you that are working for agriculture every day. It almost to me seems like an adult version of the FFA leadership program on steroids, probably. We don't have a lot of breaks in our day. We wake up and get rolling early in the morning, and Madam Chair, just like last night, we spend time with you and with other leaders. So it's definitely a program that is worth everything that's put into it from the board, and I think all of my classmates will agree with me on that one too. Pretty incredible to be with these 30 different people from all different walks of life, but all here for one passion and for one reason, and that's for bringing agriculture and rural Minnesota together, and for everyone's good. So from there, I am the beginning farmer, and I can say that I'm a very beginning farmer. I have wanted to farm all of my life. My husband has too. We were just married just over a year ago, and have aspirations to farm, but didn't really have the opportunity in either one of our families. My brother took over our family dairy farm, and his family's succession plan just wasn't in the works to pass on to one person. So split up very much so that no one could really take the operation and run with it today. And so my husband literally called a realtor off of a sign, and he no longer represented that property, so we thought we had a roadblock. But he said, you know, I know a couple, and I think they're looking for someone just like you. And so we got to meet a couple just south of Northfield who didn't have any children and wanted to sell their farm. In light of all of the fiscal cliff and capital gains information, they wanted to sell their farm in 2012, and they didn't want it to be parceled off, and they didn't want to sell it to a large operation. They wanted someone that didn't have a chance, and they wanted a young couple to carry on the tradition of their farm. And so I can honestly say that we were completely blessed and given opportunity of a lifetime to purchase the farm from them, and we could not have done it without our life savings and our parents. My parents and his parents both helped us financially by digging deep into their bank accounts, but also from the Young Farmer Programs and the Beginning Farm Loans of the Rural Finance Authority and the Minnesota Department of Ag. Without any of those things, this definitely wouldn't have been possible, but very excited to say that we'll be farming this spring, just over 250 acres just south of Northfield. And to some of those farmers that I'm taking to Chicago, they might forget to plant that many acres this year. But honestly, we're so excited to have the opportunity and going to make the most of it. And hopefully someday, like Michelle, we'll be able to say that we raised our kids on a family farm too and give them the same advice that my dad gave me. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I think Representative Fritz has a question.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I wanted to also thank Mrs. Betzel for being here today and for presenting. She's my constituent, and her farm is in my hometown of Northfield, the town of Cows, Colleges, and Contentment. You'll see that often on the signs, and you'll hear it from me often. But other than that, I just want to thank you and offer you my support and help and admiration, because you are our future. And when you look at a 250-acre farm in Northfield being farmed by a young couple, you don't see that as often as you'd like to, as I saw in my lifetime. I am a senior citizen, too, so I'm proud of it. But it's so wonderful to have this and to have you involved here in the leadership program and then taking the initiative to, and as we met earlier in my office, I hope that you'd share your successes so others can see that there is hope in Minnesota. We have this is Rice and Steele County that I represent in Dodge. Our farming is a farming community, so this is our future, and I'm just happy that you're here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Quist. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yes. Any other questions for Ms. Betzold? All right. Thank you. And next, again, Ms. Rossman, if you'll state your name for the record.
Yes, Madam Chair. Michelle Rossman. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. My husband, Tony, and I operate a diversified farming operation in Orinoco in Olmsted County. We raise corn and soybeans. We also have a commercial cattle operation. We feed out our own calves, so we have a small feedlot, and we sell some seed stock, and we also have a hog nursery. In addition to that production side of the business, I have a background in animal science and meat science, and have been very fortunate to be engaged in beef safety research for about the last 20 years with the beef industry. I've worked with the entire chain from gate to plate to improve our processes and ensure that we're doing everything we can to produce safe and wholesome products for our consumers around the world. It's a true passion for mine as a young mother, because at the center of my world are three young sons, Nicholas, Garrett, and Peyton. And depending on the day, they talk about coming back and being a farmer. Our five-year-old, almost on a daily basis, tells us why he needs to be home farming with Daddy and not at school. So he still is very passionate about that. And my husband and I are committed to doing everything that we can in our operation to ensure that if in 20 years they so choose to come back and be engaged in production agriculture, that our operation is economically viable and stable and an opportunity for them. Besides the impact we have on our operation, we are actively engaged in civic organizations and need to ensure that we're having an impact beyond our land, beyond our community, through state and national farm organizations. To that end, that's really what drew me to Marl. I've had a lot of opportunities in my professional career to be involved in leadership development programs. But after my husband started participating in Marl as a member of Class 4, so several classes ago, it was literally after the first session that my wheels started turning and we started thinking about when I would have the opportunity to be a part of Marl. And we had to wait until everybody was out of diapers, so that we're a couple years removed from that, and it was the perfect timing for me to take advantage of this tremendous opportunity. We're only in session 3. But we already have engaged in skill and leadership development activities that we will continue to use and utilize for the rest of our lives, in our family environments, in our communities, as well as in all of our ag activities. In addition to those skills, the big thing for me was the ability to see the truly diverse agricultural enterprises around our state. I'm not a native of Minnesota. I grew up in Pennsylvania, so I have a lot of ties there. And my husband is a third-generation farmer here in Minnesota, but I don't have those ties. So through this program and through all of our state tours, we are being exposed to just tremendous people and operation and ideas in agriculture around the state. So that is just a real tremendous gain for me as a part of this program. In addition, I'm making a lifelong group of friends who I will utilize and be in touch with the rest of my life. Truly people who are as passionate about agriculture as I am and want to ensure that there is a very bright future for our young people in Minnesota. I look forward to engaging with all of you if you ever have questions about agricultural issues, as do the 200-plus graduates of the Marl program and our current class. The diversity of expertise is mind-boggling. I wish all of you had an opportunity to hear at one of our first sessions. We all have 2 to 3 minutes to talk about what we're passionate about, why we're a part of Marl, and how we're engaged in agriculture. And we all walked away from that night truly realizing the honor that we had to be engaging with this, our 30 members of this Class 7 Marl. So I encourage you in the future to engage with this group and utilize the expertise and experience that is there. Thank you very much for your time today, Madam Chair, if you have any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Rossman. Any questions? All right, thank you. And next, just state your name for the record, please.
Gary Wordish from Renville, Minnesota. I guess the question I have, how am I supposed to follow these two young ladies that just did an excellent job, and you know, the passion that they have, and especially Sarah as a young person. My wife and I farmed by Renville County, or in Renville County, and I have farmed our life there and raised four children, two boys and two girls, and we now have two grandchildren, two boys and two girls. So I can't take credit for the tremendous family planning, but it has worked out very well so far. Over the years, Renville County is pretty diversified as far as crops and livestock. You know, we have, and I have raised them myself, from the sugar beets to the canning crops to the edible beans and corn and soybeans. It's pretty diversified. You get into other parts of the state, you have a little bit different, but it's important part of the area. Over the years, I've served on a church boards, and I've served on a preservation committee for a church that was closed about 22 years now ago. Now we keep maintaining the building, but it's part of our rural heritage. Serve on a township board. I've been on the township board for over 20 years now, and I guess I am now the senior member of our township board, and I don't like to be put in that position because the township board's a very good position, very important positions, but unfortunately in some of the rural parts of the area, you're on it till you die, and I guess I don't plan on dying, so I guess I'll be on there for a while. So that part's good. Presently I serve on the RFA board for the state of Minnesota, and Sandra's on there too, and when Sarah brought that up about beginning farmers, it's another area that comes before you as an ag committee. It's a very important program to have, to do things to get beginning farmers started, and any the more of those types of programs we can do, the better off we all are. The more people we have out in the rural countryside, we all are better. It's not only the farms, it's the the towns and all of that. Like I mentioned earlier, I had farmed all my life. In 2000, when our current governor was elected to the United States Senator, I had the opportunity to work for him. So I worked for him for the full 6 years of his term as his agricultural director within the state of Minnesota. So I did get a chance to drive around, travel the state a lot, and meet with a lot of constituent groups. I met Patty Fritz at a meeting down there, and that's when she was thinking about running. We talked, and I'm glad to see she's doing representing agriculture. As you get different various groups, the farm organizations, various groups come before your committee, the one thing, everybody does have a passion for rural Minnesota. And, it's important to hear their voices, and, I appreciate you taking the time to listening to us today. Last night we visited with the Representative Poppy and Representative Dill, and a couple other, Torgerson and John... John Ward from Brainerd. I had a mind block there for a little bit. That happens as you get into our class. One of the things you said, Representative Poppy, you said that, make the stories personal. I'll make an attempt at that here now. When I, as a young kid graduating from high school, I always loved working on the farm, helping my father and being part of the family. Always enjoyed doing that, doing chores and livestock and all that thing. And they actually... didn't even mind baling hay sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes I guess they thought that was healthy for us, or going to get a little stronger the next kid as we played in sports or whatever it was. But at that time, graduating from high school, I didn't think I wanted to be a farmer. I thought I wanted to, I knew I wanted to be involved in agriculture. I wanted to be, at that time, I thought be a manager of a farm co-op or something like that, work in agribusiness for, that was kind of my goal. So I went to school for that, and did do a short stint in that, but I just kind of got drawn back to the farm and worked with my father and was able to stay there. And so that's kind of where, when I had the chance to work for the senator, then I rented my farm to one of my sons, which, is the plan anyway, to pass our farms on to our children. And the thing I see there now, and I always knew he wanted to be a farmer when he was little, as a young child, following me around doing chores and helping in the field or whatever, right? He used to ride in a tractor a lot. My wife worked off the farm then for a short time, so he spent a lot of the time in the tractor cabs. And at that time, we didn't have that nice extra seat that we could sit in. He still reminds me that he thinks sometimes his headaches is from sitting in the tractor cab, bouncing back and forth on the seat or against the window as he, as we was driving. But I see on him, his one son, his grandson, my grandson, he's 7 years old now, and I see the same thing in him that I saw in my son at that age. And I do carry it around with me every day. Well, every day that I have my vehicle, I do have on my key ring here a little. Raise a few broiler chickens over the summer just for eating, and kind of like appreciate it now because it's when they come over. And he started doing that when he was 4 years old. In the picture on here, he's four. He'd come over, and my wife babysits my son's children, and first thing he did, he said, "Papa, can we do chores? Have we done chores?" So if I didn't have to, you know, after a while you figure it out, you know, some of us take a little longer, but I did figure out, well, if I didn't have to be someplace at a specific time, you didn't do the chores till he got there. Did the chores, and then you went out and did your work. But that's kind of why I'm in this mild program. My present position, now I serve as a vice president of the Minnesota Farmers Union. And being in the Marlins, in my position at Farmers Union, it's kind of about these, about the children, the grandchildren, future grandchildren. And that's, you know, I guess that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm testifying before you, and I hope I'm making a little bit of sense. But, I mean, it's, it's not just the farmers, it's the rural communities. You know, you got the senior citizens, you got the, you know, the elderly people, and it is a huge problem as you get a elderly population. You know, it's not only the elderly age of farmers, but it's our rural communities are, you know, it's a struggle. And that's where the issues come before you. We need a strong, you know, we need programs to keep us out there. And I'll touch, you know, go into a little bit, you know, we need the, you know, obviously we need the jobs, you know, we all understand that, you know, we, for, you know, to keep these kids out there, we have to have not only jobs for our children, so they can raise their children out there, but we need a strong school system to have, because if, you know, people like Sarah, they're not going to come back, she's got young children to raise. If she doesn't have a good school, strong school system, she can put them in, she's going to look elsewhere, you know, and that, we can't lose sight of that, you know, and that's, you don't, along with that, you know, it's not only funding for, you know, for the schools, it's ag and the, our FFA and the 4-H programs. Another one is our, Dan was a former farm business management leader. Farm business management program, you know, the one thing you can't lose, it's been a very, very good program for not only the farmers, but it gives us a database. It's a very, very strong database that can be used as, you research things in the future. And if we cut off the funding for that issue, we're going to lose that database, and that's going to, long term, that's what we need to hang on to. So we need to, I know that, you know, we're everybody's going to be coming before you advocating there for positions, but, you know, that's one of the things that, a little thing that can come before you can make a difference on. The media, I guess I would like to advocate for supporting the farmer leader mediation, you know, extending that again. You know, just a little thing, but it's sometimes as a producer or farmer, you can get put into a situation, maybe it's out of your control. And just having that another little step in there before the bank is allowed to foreclose, and a lot of times the issues can be worked out. Agreements can be done, and, you know, the more we can do that, the more, you know, if we can just save a couple more families on the farm, we're better off in the long run. It doesn't say the bank can't foreclose, you know, but it just slows the process down a little bit and allows the, you know, the two sides to try and work out. Extension is involved in that program, and, you know, they've done a good job. And appreciate Representative Hamilton's message on the AgriFund. That was the other issue I wanted to bring up. You know, I think we have 21 ethanol plants within the state. It could be off one or two, but I think that's the number we have now. But that whole program, without state funding, without state backing, we wouldn't have them plants out in the country, out in the rural. They're all in the rural communities. They're all providing relatively deep, you know, good paying jobs. You know, so at the time that was put in, you know, that was put into place, it was a chance, you know, corn, we're looking at $1, $1.50 corn. It was a way to add value to our corn. Well, obviously now corn's a lot higher price, but the whole program has been good. It's, you know, it's been probably the best rural development tool we've had within the state. In the state, without the state support of that program, we wouldn't have that. So, as you look, I encourage you to keep strong that AgriFund, keep the AgriFund strong, keep funding it, and look for areas like that. You know, we understand. I guess I'd like to consider the ethanol as kind of a home run. We're not going to be able to do that. Renewable energy is, you know, it is a very big opportunity. Look at that. You know, the biomass is maybe the next move, but the ethanol plant has helped moving us in the next direction. I personally, I look at the biomass type things. If, you know, if we can get them online and get them, I look at them as the old creamery system we used to have within our state. I'm old enough where I can still remember we had a little creamery in our town of Renville, Minnesota, and actually when I went to school, that's the bottled milk come from that little creamery. You know, that was kind of nice, but you had those scattered around the state, you know, and that's an opportunity. With renewable energy does give us the opportunity to scatter things around the state and provide opportunities for families and for farmers and families working out there. So probably run on long enough, and apologize for that. And if any questions, you're welcome.
Any questions? All right, thank you. And our next presenter, just state your name, please.
Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Mike Leopold. I'm the Extension Educator for the University of Minnesota Extension. The University of Minnesota has been a proud partner in the MARL program since its inception in the year 2000. My responsibility is for the design, teaching, and evaluation of the MARL educational experiences. MARL is really a unique blend of classroom and hands-on learning. I challenge participants, pushing them out of their comfort zone in each seminar. It might be public speaking, meeting with their state representative or a member of Congress, or standing in a mosque in Morocco. Being uncomfortable is something they learn to expect. I work for the land-grant university that for 150 years has prided itself in measuring the results. Bushels per acre, pounds of feed per pound of gain. We can also measure that change in the 180 graduates of MARL. Our sophistication in evaluating leader effectiveness has grown tremendously. Participants in MARL are measured at the start of the and the end of their 18-month experience and at a lot of points in between. We use a number of instruments to make certain that the MARL program is truly improving the skills of Minnesota leaders. The first instrument is the emotional intelligence assessment. It reflects an individual's ability to deal with daily challenges and helps predict success in life, both in professional and personal pursuits. The EQI is being used in business and industry and even the Air Force in selection of cadets. Emotional intelligence is a reliable indicator of success in leadership roles. And unlike cognitive intelligence, your IQ, emotional intelligence can be improved. We can train for it. It's become an important part of our leader development. Our study shows that MARL participants will make a statistically significant improvement in their emotional intelligence and therefore be more successful as leaders. The second measure that we use is our organizational leadership survey. It tracks the participants' improvement in specific leadership skills. That survey tells us that our MARL grads tend to excel in their ability to deal with conflict in group situations, that they have a clear understanding of their own personal strengths and weaknesses, and demonstrate an ability to track broad trends that impact the future of the organizations that they belong to. This same survey shows that at the end of the MARL training, each of our graduates held an average of 5 active leadership positions. The most recent class members were involved in 232 organizations in Minnesota. MARL graduates are prepared and are giving back. We use a periodic alumni evaluation to capture some of what they've accomplished. We find them successful in elected positions on school boards, in ag organizations, county boards of commissioners, and even the Minnesota House of Representatives. We used a ripple effect map for the first time last summer to identify the impact of alums and communities. The ripple effect map is a form of a focus group. We bring together graduates and stakeholders and supporters to understand the change that happens in a community or organization as a result of their training in the MARL program. Much like the ripples formed when you toss a rock into the pond, MARL graduates have made some ripples of their own. Being the modest leaders they are, the focus group shows us the results we could not get otherwise. Things like starting a professional group for young community members, hosting farm visits for 6,000 people, participating in a member of Life Science Alley, serving on the Bio Business Alliance, running for and winning a seat on the Senex Harvest States as a board member. Others report they become more effective in current board positions. One created a cultural exchange between farms and schools. Another provided a South African embassy official a tour of a Minnesota ethanol plant. you can find them maybe leading a campaign to build a community swimming pool. Some have developed international connections through student exchanges, both traveling and hosting. Most all of them stay engaged with this Marl alumni as a network or fraternity of professional people. The complete evaluation report of the most recent class has been handed out for your reference. Improving the leadership skills of people in Minnesota is critical to our long-term success in agriculture in rural Minnesota. It's a solid investment in our future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leopold. Yes, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Leopold, where's the international trip this year? We all want to know.
Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, you know I can't say that. That is a top secret and closely held. I don't tell my wife.
And Madam Chair, just yes, for, I tried Hamilton. For the group. I tried. They put me up to it.
Thank you. And Mr. Leopold, you may want to just talk about that about the secrecy surrounding that and how that works.
Well, the board of directors makes a decision on the trip that is held, and there is when you think about planning a trip like this, a third of the excitement is the anticipation of it, and so we actually go through some real lengths for them to be able to figure out from a set of clues just what that would be. The international part of the Marl program is really very valuable. The thing that I think that we get most out of it is the fact that we see how people in other cultures view us and our lifestyle.
Thank you. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a former teacher, I'm interested in this, emotional intelligence that you have. Could you give me an example of a lesson that or a situation that you might present to them to work on a certain skill?
Yes, go ahead.
Chairman Poppe and Representative Erickson, as soon as we're done with this, we'll be heading back to the Kellyanne to start on that lesson. What they're doing is they're going to work in groups of three. In each group, the participants will find someone that has strengths in areas of their weakness and areas where they can help. So each person in that triad has an opportunity to work to both contribute and to gain from the group that they're working with. These members of all of the participants will be trained to coach each other, and in that group of three, the instrument actually comes up with ideas for development that they might want to consider. They're going to consider all of those this afternoon, select which skills they want to work on, and we follow that through for the remainder of their program time.
All right, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for your presentations. I guess what I wanted to say was just an encouragement and just saying how grateful that I am for what you're doing. I grew up on a family farm and farmed for a good portion of my life, and part of the strength of agriculture has been the independence of farmers and getting the job done. But part of that independence has also come at the cost of not always being out there active because they're just doing their own thing, and sometimes we've missed that voice in public policy, especially up here in state capital. So it's very informative, and it's gratefully appreciated that you are developing those leaders that can really really talk for the program, and talk for agriculture itself. 4-H program is another great example of developing leadership. So thank you, and I encourage all of you to keep on.
Thank you. All right. I just had a question about the commitment. It's been talked about that it's a $5,000 tuition payment, and as well as there's a time commitment of the period of time. And could you just detail that a little bit more? Just curious about that. And how would somebody, do they pay through the Southwest Minnesota State University, or how does the logistics of it work? If you could go ahead,
Chair Representative
Mr. Hoffman.
Thanks for the question. And now you know why I didn't take very many minutes at the beginning. To know these people is to love them. Enthusiastic. They're giving of their time, approximately 52 days out of that 2-year cycle. And that doesn't even include filling out the application, going to the interview. There was one young farm wife that came to the committee and said, I've never been to an interview before. And she's probably at that time maybe 48 years of age. So just the interview experience is something new for some. And we unfortunately don't have enough funding or resources to put everybody in the class, so we have to say no to some. But it's not always because they aren't of the caliber we want. But we try and balance that class. We want some emerging farmers like Sarah. We want some mid-career farmers like Michelle. And we need some emerging some farmers that have been established like Gary. When they come together and they share ideas, many good things happen. One-third of the class is non-farm producing. They don't produce food, fuel, fiber, or feed, but they're support industries, and some of them are government officials. For example, Amy Klobuchar's staff, we have one of those on. And certainly, your policies and the work you do impact how our people are able to economically do things. How can they produce food, fuel, and fiber if they don't have policies that let them do that? And when Mike was talking about the international experience, we have many examples when we come back from, for example, South Africa, where my class went, class four. Certainly apartheid and other things impact how that economy operates. On the plane back from Morocco, there were several young mothers on the plane. We were going to Copenhagen to fly back to Minnesota. And they weren't escorted by men, but they had children. So I began to talk to some of those mothers. What's happening? Where are you going? Well, I was to South Africa to meet my parents and show the grandchildren to them. I'm heading back to where my husband works. Happened to be white women. Well, why don't your husbands work in Africa? And of course, the answer at that point was white people in mid-career or mid-management positions were displaced when the government said, we're going to change policy. They needed to go somewhere else to get jobs of the caliber that they were used to. And in this case, that meant out of their own home country. That was the wake-up call to me, how important the work you do is in policy. Maybe we could equate it to the tail wagging the dog, but it's very important about what you do. So back to that class. Two-thirds of the farmers and producers, one-third not. And they learn things back and forth. We had people we didn't let into the class because we didn't have enough spots. And to answer Chair and Representative Hamilton, the needs of financing, huge. These people behind me and in the audience have contributed $5,000 of their own for tuition. The rest, the board says, Hoffman, we'll help you, but it's your job to go out and find those funds. And as I mentioned, at one of our board members, to our board members and at one of the board members, one of the board meetings, my sleep pattern changes according to whether that private funder says yes or no. We rely on the public part, SMSU, Southwest Minnesota State University, and partnering with the University of Minnesota to find the best resources we can in each institution to come together where 1 + 1 equals about 3 or 4. And we go out into the community and take the public dollars and leverage it with private. So your idea of using some of that AgriFund count, phenomenal. And it would stabilize what we're trying to do. We've got a lot of people in the audience. I guess would it be appropriate to have them just stand? Anybody that's either, first off, let's start with alumni of Marl. Are there any alumni in the group? Southwest. Southwest Minnesota State University? Thank you for calling that up. Okay, let's join that with current class members, class 7. And we had about 6 or 7 leave. Are there any board members in the audience? Thank you. And we've got University of Minnesota involved, Bev Durgan and Bill Mulsell from Southwest Minnesota State University. So you can see we've been very collaborative, and what we're beginning to find, thank you, by the way, as we come together and use this teamwork, we reach out further, and we get more done, and we build a lot of synergy. A couple of things that you can help us with is we have initiatives to move more into Northwest Minnesota. They're underserved by Marl. We're trying. We interviewed in the Crookston area. We also have an initiative in place to have more underserved or underserved population. For example, perhaps a Hmong farmer, or perhaps somebody in business that is a minority. When they come to the class, it's not only what we can offer them, but what they can offer us. So I hope that I answered your question, Chair. Further question on that?
Just to follow up on that, with the $5,000, is it tuition to Southwest Minnesota State, or is it to the Marl program, the foundation, or
Thanks.
Maybe that's not
no, Chair,
clear enough, but Mr. Hoffman.
Southwest Minnesota State University has a foundation. MARL is umbrellaed underneath of that. They're the fiscal agent. And so when people contribute, it goes to that site, they administer it, they give the reports out, and of course when checks need to be written, some big ones for international travel, or we had a speaker come to Marshall when we were on campus. He was over $6,000, Michael Brandwein from Chicago. But we divided that with our friends in South Dakota, the Sodaro Group, South Dakota Ag and Rural Leadership, who we have their past executive director on our board, Dan G. We divided that 50-50. We did things across the state line. We need to be, and our funding partners are saying this, you need to think more regionally, not just your county, your state, but the upper Midwest, and of course, with Mike and the university's help and SMSU's help, we're thinking globally. But again, as we started the presentation, you have the bios from class 7. If you go to the website, you'll find the bios for all 7 classes going back 12 years. Please use those resources when you need help, when you have questions. But we have a very high caliber group, as you can tell, and they bring a lot to the table, and it's a joy to work with them. And we have a board meeting coming up later where we're going to debrief and also talk about that strategic plan that we put together.
Thank you. I think Representative Greshaw, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Just quickly, you had mentioned reaching out efforts. Have you had any success reaching out into the Hispanic community? I have a large population in Todd County and Long Prairie and looking to get into agriculture. Are there resources or have you reached out to that? Or perhaps is there a contact I could give them?
Mr. Hoffman.
Thank you, Chair. Certainly you can give them my phone number. They can go to the website. But any of the board members would be helpful. Perhaps in your specific area, if you go to the website, you'll see the contact information for the board member. We would love to have that discussion. We also have funding partners that are saying, you know, if you will be more open, more collaborative with underserved and underserved populations, we will help you find more funding. Or at least we'll give you some and you can go leverage it.
Thank you. All right. All right. Well, thank you very much for the presentation. This is very enlightening, and I appreciate the stories because certainly it is a tremendously large amount of time and effort and commitment that each of you are putting forth, and I think it's wonderful to have in the state. So thank you for presenting, and good luck on your as you go in your travels, as you in your future. So thank you.
Thank you, Chair Poppy, and also the representatives for the opportunity.
Yes, and just a note that I think it was Representative Torkelson that is the Morrow alum. We should have had a little quiz on that to see if people would have, we would have had somebody who would have known that, but Representative Hamilton.
Well, Madam Chair, that was another one that made it through the screening process that we have no idea
Amazing.
How that happened.
Amazing. All right. A couple of notes. Thank you again very much. In your packet, we do have the information about who is on the committee, a little bit of information about who the staff are from the committee so that you have that. And you might want to move that to your save file, or you might want to be able to take that with you if you are curious about that. Next week, we will meet on Wednesday morning at 8:15. We're kind of an unusual committee in that we have a Wednesday morning and a Thursday afternoon committee time. So Wednesday morning at 8:15, it will be Minnesota Milk Day. We'll have the Department of Ag giving a presentation, and we're going to start with the first of our commercials about our districts, and Representative Anderson has been so gracious to begin that process for us. Rather than us just going around and saying who we are and on the first meeting and kind of doing that introduction, I'm going to ask instead if each member would be willing to, if you say no, that's going to be okay, but if you'd be willing to give a 5 to 7 minute commercial about your district with regards to agriculture and how important it is within your district. Because I think one of the things that we all recognize that we need to help to share the message about how important rural Minnesota is, as the whole of the state, but how important agriculture is within our state. And one way I think we can do that is for us to share information. So it's going to be a little bit of a show and tell, a little bit of a commercial. And throughout the time, I'll try to match it up with something that's going to be appropriate to either your district, or we'll have also some presentations by some of the FFA members to give presentations about different aspects of things. And we'll have some bills that will be coming through. And as we have bills to come through, it might also pertain to either something that might be apparent in your district. So we're going to start on Wednesday. Milk. We're going to be talking about milk and dairy, and we're going to be hearing from Representative Anderson. So he's kind of I just talked to him today about that. So he's going to be our first one to give the commercial, and we each can do whatever we choose to do, but I think it's going to be a way for us to get to know each other a little bit better, get to know the state better, and get to know our districts, and be able to share a little bit, because I firmly believe that we have a lot more in common than we have differences, and we will start out on that foot and hopefully have a successful term here. And so thank you for your attention today. Thank you very much to the Marl, all of your classes and all of the presentations. It was wonderful. And with that, I'm going to say meeting adjourned. Thank you.